This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Nermina's mind floats. She thinks of nothing. Tears continue to slide down her cheeks. She warms her hands, dirt-packed under jagged nails inside her slicker. She doesn't want to remember. She doesn't want to think or feel, but she feels the warmth of the injured man next to her and realizes that the bandage wrapped around his thigh is soaked with blood and that this is the source of the warmth. The man, a boy really, she thinks, has begun to whimper. "Thank you," she says quietly, bowing her head as though in prayer. This is G.P. Gottlieb, host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today I'm speaking with Dina Greenberg, author of Nermina's Chance, a novel inspired by the author's work leading creative writing workshops for combat veterans. Nermina is a young medical student in Sarajevo when the Bosnian War breaks out. This was a war characterized by bitter fighting, ethnic cleansing, systematic mass rape, and indiscriminate shelling of cities. Nermina survives, but her life will never be the same. Her father gives her money to bribe her way out, and she manages to get to the United States. There, she makes life choices based on the horror she endured, but neglects to consider everything that might happen as a result. Hi, Dina. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Galit. It's a pleasure.
So according to your website, Nermina's Chance began as a short story. What made you decide to keep going and make it into a full novel?
Well, I found that the themes that I wanted to explore could not be confined in a short story. And at the time that I first presented it to my writing workshop, I had a lot of agreement with my workshop mates who said there was just too much happening and I knew that I needed to explore further and broaden the story.
Why are Nermina and the rest of her family so surprised by the assault on the city? Were there no warnings, no signs about what was going to happen in Sarajevo?
Well, I think that what was happening in Sarajevo is very similar to what was happening in previous wars. I think that there is a certain amount of fear and denial that keeps people from understanding exactly what's going on and what keeps them, in a sense, perhaps burying their heads in the sand and, you know, just not able to be rational about what is taking place.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this throughout the book that you mentioned. Here it is. I was wondering the whole time, have those who suffered the way Nermina did received any compensation or governmental response for everything that they lost during the war? I was wondering about Nermina, and it wasn't mentioned.
So I do not believe that there has been any kind of compensation, as there has been with victims of the Holocaust during World War II. So far as I understand, there were homes who, you know, there were many people who had to leave their homes. They were displaced at the outset of the war, and they fled to places like Germany. And during the time that they were displaced, there were soldiers living in their home. And I have some firsthand accounts from women that I've interviewed who were young children during the war, and they describe situations of coming back to their homes and not only, not necessarily having access to the properties, but even when they were able to come back, they were ostracized because they were considered people who had left, people who had run from the war rather than, and I'll put this in kind of an air quote, rather than people who had stayed and fought. So, no, there were not reparations. And I don't know if that's something that will happen in the future, but so far as I understand, that did not take place.
Mm-hmm. Nermina is a secular woman from a secular Muslim family, college educated. How did you decide to tell the story from somebody like Nermina?
Well, that is actually a very interesting question. And I feel that my model for Nermina, for my protagonist, is pivotal to the way the narrative unfolded. So back when I began working on this book and doing what I would consider library research and some internet research, this was probably around 2000, I was very fortunate in reaching out and finding a woman who had been a young Bosnian journalist at the time that the siege on Sarajevo began. She was a TV journalist with CNN TV1 in Sarajevo. Her name is Zrinka Bralo. She is now the CEO of a nonprofit organization based in London that's called Migrants Organize. But at that time, when I reached out to her, she was extremely generous in sharing with me details of exactly her experience, literally being trapped inside a television studio in Sarajevo, having to be part of a rotation of her colleagues who would have to dodge sniper bullets when they would, go out into the street and forage for clean water and for food. So she was able to give me details that I certainly could have found with research, but hearing it from someone and speaking to someone at the time we were doing Skype, there wasn't Zoom or anything like that. But being able to watch someone's facial expression and have her deliver these details, with so much veracity, that was the linchpin for my really being able to come up with this character. And please stop me if you need to. But what I found was that she was describing a family that was relatively secular. Yes, they were Muslim, but both of her parents were professionals. And in the novel, both of Nermina's parents are doctors. And that was important for me because I wanted Nermina to also want to follow in their footsteps and be a physician.
Yeah. Nermina finds herself helping a young orphan.
Correct.
When she leaves. And as planned, she leaves him with a family member. Why does she continue to feel through the years as if she abandoned the child?
I think that that's something that that any person, man or woman, might grapple with. One of the things that happens during armed conflict, during war, is that many children are left orphaned. This little boy, his aunt delivers him to the hospital, where Nermina's father is kind of heading up a skeleton crew of physicians and nursing staff who are taking on all of the casualties of the war. And this little boy is literally wandering in front of the hospital when Nermina arrives, and she takes him under her wing, although initially she's not even sure that she's able to do that because she's so single-minded in her search for her own family. She feels guilt because even though she delivers him to Rome, where he is, it will be in the care of a family member, this is something that that kind of haunts her. And again, another pivotal point of the novel and of the plot of the novel is that she's so broken. She has lost everything, and she needs to replace the family that she has lost. And so whether she's being rational or not, she decides that she's going to have a child. And she honestly doesn't care how that takes place. She just wants that child.
Once she makes it to America, mm-hmm. Raifa and her husband become the closest thing to family that she has. Can you say more about them?
Yeah, I think that those characters, while they're secondary characters, I think that they also represent the story of immigration and refugee status in this country. So this was the 1990s, and certainly there were people who were welcoming to migrant populations. And Raifa and Samir are people who found their way. They came through with the help of the U.S. government. They were able to find jobs, certainly not the jobs that they left in Bosnia, but they came through, and they were able to raise their children, and they were able to have a decent way of life. And Nermina is she's on her own. So I think that while Raifa and Samir are secondary characters, they're certainly important in Nermina's life, and I needed them to kind of help Nermina establish herself and to help her find her way. I don't honestly believe in my heart of hearts I don't know what she would have done had she not had these people to hang on to.
Mm. Yes, they were like that. They were her chosen family.
Absolutely.
So as you said, she was desperate to rebuild. Do you think her reasons for wanting a child justify how she went about getting one?
That's a question that comes up quite a bit. And I will say that prior to publication, it was a question that was constantly discussed in workshop. And I believe that it's really an outcome. I believe that when I researched the sort of trauma that a young woman would experience, being raped, losing her family, not having the typical type of support system and trust that a healthy, emotionally healthy young woman would have in seeking out a relationship. My feeling, and in the way that I have come to know Nermina as a character, is that she was unable to connect in a loving relationship and go out on dates and have a kind of a normal dating relationship to the extent where she would be, you know, married and happily ever after. She never saw herself that way, but what she did see herself as was a mother. And I don't know honestly at this point, was she justified? Probably not, because she certainly wasn't fair to Carl, the young man who becomes Atika's father. Atika is her daughter. And no, it's not necessarily fair, but there are lots of things in life that aren't fair. So I personally don't hold that against Nermina.
Can you say a little something about Carl?
I can say tons about Carl because Carl was actually created as a character before Nermina. Carl existed. Carl walked the pages of some of my short stories. And he is a really, he's a character that I cannot ever abandon, because he's a very complex character. I know a bit about the family that he grew up in, because in some ways it was similar to mine. He had a very difficult upbringing. He is very intelligent and yet kind of a, you know, bull in a china shop type of person. He speaks his mind. And I think that it has taken him, because by the end of the novel, we know that he wants to be a good father. He wants to take on this responsibility. But I'm never 100% sure that he's capable of it. So I love him as a character, because I think that in literature, at least in the books that I'm drawn to, I'm much more intrigued by a complex character than I am by someone who is one way or the other. Carl is many different things.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah. So as Atika grows, she realizes that something's wrong with her mother because Nermina sometimes cries and is unable to take care of anyone but herself. Is she doing everything she needs to do in order to grapple with her PTSD?
Is Nermina doing everything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, one of the important aspects of the novel for me was to be very true to life in what someone would grapple with PTSD. And I think that I'm very clear on the point that Nermina does seek counseling. She doesn't necessarily do so because she wants to. She does so because she has to, because this is a condition of the help that she receives from the U.S. government. And she has a caseworker like many people do who come to this country, and she begrudgingly goes to see her therapist, and she eventually realizes that this is also a lifesaver. And I think this is one of the reasons, and this is certainly one of the motifs of the book. I believe that this is one of the reasons why she decides not only to put herself through nursing school, but to become an advanced practice nurse practitioner who specializes in behavioral health care. So, this certainly fits the motif of wounded healer, because there are many people who become therapists who have been through just horrendous experiences. And one of the things that they do is to hopefully heal themselves first and then use what they have experienced to put that to work and try to help others.
Mm. You mentioned on your website that, like Nermina, you have worked with traumatized combat veterans. How do you help them tell their own stories?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. So I think that my initial interest, and I will state, I will admit this, I am just a ridiculous research geek. I love to, once I find a topic that's meaningful to me, I feel compelled to do a great deal of research. So most of my reading initially was around trauma related to combat. And what I found, though, over the years is that there's certainly overlap and intersection of types of trauma. There's a moral element to someone who has been in a combat zone, just as there's a moral element to someone who hasn't been fighting, but who has escaped a war zone, who has become a refugee, who has come to a place of safety. And the moral dilemma is, why have I survived and those other people haven't? So for me, that's the intersection. And what I can do as a writer and as a teacher of creative writing is I can do something that's really simple but very profound. I can listen, and I can hold that person's story sacred. And I'll say probably at least 15 years ago, I attended a working conference for primarily for military chaplains, because their role becomes one that is, you know, very, very strongly related to providing behavioral health care. And one of the exercises that I observed was having combat veterans stand among, a group of people who would be people like me observing, and other people who would be like military chaplains and civilian psychologists. And they were asked to tell their story. And from that initial observation at that workshop, I saw the power of allowing someone a safe space in which to tell that story and know that someone is holding it and someone is cherishing it. And in some ways, taking some of that weight away from the person who has suffered. So while it sounds simplistic, it's really extremely profound.
I could see that. Dina, ultimately, it seemed like Nirmina gets more than just one chance in her life. Can you say more about that? Weigh in?
Sure. I think she has numerous chances. First of all, she has the chance to, again, I'm air quoting, make right. She has the opportunity to make a situation right with both Carl, who she has deceived, and with Atika, who she has deceived for 16 years. She has never come clean until the point where she has to come clean, and she has to tell her daughter that she was conceived in the usual way and not by in vitro. And she has to be honest with Carl and explain to him that she's lied to him. She also has the chance to come to grips with her own failings and to forgive herself for those deceptions, and to forgive herself in a way for, you know, carrying this survivor's guilt that she's had for so many years. And then I believe, you know, from a professional perspective, she started out going to medical school while she was in Bosnia, and she ends up going to nursing school, which was not something that she necessarily wanted to do. But ultimately, she ends up in a profession that is completely ideal for her personality, and it's just perfect. So I think that she, again, by the end of the novel, not only has the opportunity to be honest with her daughter, be honest with Carl, who was the father of this child, she may even have the chance to find love in a marital relationship, although we leave that open.
Maybe your next book.
Maybe the next book.
So tell me, what are you working on next?
So I actually have a couple of projects in the works, and one of them is a little bit off the beaten path in terms of the Bosnia story, but it is connected. So one of the things that I was researching was what Sarajevo and what Bosnia is like today, and what it feels like to live in a place that has essentially been mandated to have a tripartite presidency. So there are three different ethnic groups represented in the presidency. So there's Croat, there's Serbian, and there's Bosnian. And one of the I guess, happy discoveries. And for me, is that there is still a very small, but substantial and very strong Jewish population in Bosnia. And I found out that this Jewish population was very active during the war in the 1990s, and also very active very recently during COVID. And I have, again, sort of fell down the rabbit hole of research and have started to make some inquiries. And I believe that I've got the makings of another book that will highlight, I don't know whether it will be fiction, I don't know whether it will be nonfiction, but I do know that the focus will be on this Bosnian population in Sarajevo.
Sounds fascinating. I hope you'll keep me posted.
Absolutely.
And thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Galit. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you for joining me. Again, this is G.P. Gottlieb, author of the Whipped and Sipped Mystery Series, and host for New Books in Literature, a podcast channel on the New Books Network. Today I've been talking with Dina Greenberg, author of Nermina's Chance. May you always be immersed in a juicy novel. Happy reading, everyone.